you so much. It's so good to be here with you guys. I have had the best time. And who loves your pastors? Let's just say thank you and honor these amazing pastors, Mark and Lee, who I keep saying to them, I've fallen in love with them, and I've fallen in love with all of you. I'm like, we're not going to leave. I'm just going to bring the rest of my family over. We're staying. No, I just love you guys. Well, you know, my message this morning, if you're taking notes, is called The Small Things Matter. The small things matter. And, you know, about a year ago at this time, I found myself very, very ill, very sick. My immune system had broken down, and I was in this place that I never thought I would be. I found myself in bed literally for a whole month, which for me, with, you know, four small children and a church that my husband and I pastored together, running alongside each other, being in that position, in that place, was really frustrating for me. But I started to look at, how did I get here? What's going on? And there was just a multiple of a whole bunch of small things that I ignored that got me to that place. We know those times in our lives, you're like, how did I get here? But if you really look back at it, it's just a whole bunch of small decisions or small things that we have done that get us to a place like that. For me, it was just different things. I mean, I had had my son, Sam, in New York City. So my first three were born here in Australia. They're the dual citizens. And then Samuel is American, and I haven't got him his Australian passport yet. But you know, he was born in the States, and I got shingles right after that just because we had been planting a church. I was a little bit stressed out trying to juggle baby life and planting a church. And then that went away, but my immune system was taking all these hits that I wasn't aware of. External stress, a whole bunch of things going on in my life. I wasn't eating well. I wasn't sleeping well. Bam, bam, bam. Then I find myself in the ER with the grossest staph infection ever. And yeah, I'm sharing that with you. How do you feel? You still like me? Breakfast. How was your breakfast? And then on multiple rounds of antibiotics that destroyed my body. And I am still a year later making sure that I'm taking care of myself to build my immune system back up again. But look, the thing was, as I started to look back at all of these small things and where I was lying in bed feeling sorry for myself, because we've all done that before. Is it just me? I was laying there, I'm like, I'm in bed and I'm sick and I'm so sad and I feel bad for myself and no one else really cared. No, I'm just kidding, they cared. But you know, you lay there and you get into these places where when your body is sick mentally, you start to not think properly. And I'm laying there and I felt the Spirit of God say to me, Andy, this is a type and shadow of what takes place in your spirit when we are tempted to leave the seemingly small things in our lives that I have asked you to take care of or change. The small things grow, multiply, and can become a mountain if left to their own devices. But the small things can also grow and multiply and become amazing things that cause your life to flourish. The small things matter. And us paying attention to some of those small things in our lives, the small whispers that God is speaking to us, we've got to pay attention. You know, we know that a little bit of yeast changes the whole dough. If you don't put yeast in bread, you have flatbread. You have a tortilla. You know, you make some Mexican food. It's really good. Or if you put yeast in it, it permeates the whole dough, it rises. And who loves fresh bread? I do. I miss Baker's Delight. I mean, but oh, it's just so good. Anyway, but you know, Jesus uses yeast to describe what negativity and hypocrisy can do if it's left to rise in our lives. I'm gonna read this to you out of Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verses 6 through 12, and this is the Voice version. Jesus said, be careful. He's talking to his Pharisees. Avoid the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The disciples were not quite sure what Jesus meant, so they discussed his warning amongst themselves. Do you just giggle when you read the Bible sometimes? That like Jesus speaks to them and they talk amongst themselves in front of Jesus, and he's just watching them going, what? Talk to me. What do you, ask me the questions. And the disciples said, he must mean not to buy any bread from a baker who associates with the Pharisees or Sadducees. He must have given us this warning because we showed up here without any bread. And Jesus knew what the disciples were saying amongst themselves, and he took them aside. And Jesus said to them, you men of little faith, do you really think that I care which baker you patronize? After spending so much time with me, do you not understand what I mean? So you showed up without bread. Why talk about it? Don't you remember that we fed 5,000 men with 5 rounds of flatbread? Don't you remember that we fed 4,000 men with 7 rounds of flatbread? Don't you remember what excess, what abundance there was? How many broken pieces and crusts you collected after everyone had eaten and was sated? So when I speak about leaven, I'm not talking about what we will eat for dinner. I say it again. Avoid the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And then the disciples understood Jesus was not talking about the bread you eat, but about the food that feeds your soul. He was speaking in a metaphor. He was warning them against the inbiting and the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you know, for me, at the end of last year, I started to realize it was not just about what I fed my body, but it was about what I fed my soul, about what I fed my spirit. And I started to look at my life and go, you know, I am gonna die young and I'm not gonna do so well. And I'm gonna be a grumpy old mom who is yelling at everybody and not well. I was like, I actually need to start to pay attention to some of these small things that I'm neglecting in my life. And we say things like, well, it's not that big of a deal, right? We all do that. It's not that big of a deal if I don't do this, or it's not that big of a deal if I do this. But then what we find is those little things that aren't that big of a deal, they become a habit in our lives, right? Of not doing something or doing something that we're like, oh, maybe once isn't bad, and then you continue on. I mean, just a little bit, you know, of compromise, not that big of a deal. Just a little bit of hypocrisy, just a little bit of gossip. It's not that big of a deal. But you know what? Then we go down the road and these things become something that become a mountain in our lives. And you know, on the positive side, I love that Jesus used yeast about talking about the kingdom of heaven. See, this is what's so amazing. Jesus said in Matthew 13, 33, Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she only put a little yeast in, 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Now, a lot of times there are many things in our life where we want this big thing. We're on our knees for this big thing. We're praying for something big, for a breakthrough to happen. Do you know what? Breakthrough oftentimes comes through us investing and doing the small things in our lives. So it's kind of like I was even praying this morning. It's like when we plant ourselves in a local church, when we remain planted, we think, well, it's not that big of a deal if I get planted or not. It's not that big of a deal coming consistently to church. Okay, this is what's so interesting though. Every single time you come into church, you're not only meeting with family. The goal is that every single week you would walk out of here and you would take another step forward and another step forward and another step forward in your walk with God. That you, some of you are gonna make a decision to follow Jesus for the first time ever, that you came into the house of God this morning and that will be your first step. Others of you are gonna go, I need to get into community. I need to serve. I need to be in a life group. I need to, whatever that looks like, and a step forward and a step forward and a step forward. Before you know it, you're meeting your spouse, you're having a baby, you're buying a house, you're getting the job that you have been dreaming of, your life is being transformed, you're losing that weight that you wanted to lose, because you keep taking one step. It's just a small thing to go out to that desk today, the yes desk. It's just a small thing that really matters. And so sometimes we neglect the small things thinking it's not that big of a deal, but some of these small things are what will absolutely transform your life. I don't know if we have that picture ready. Did it translate well or not? Get thumbs up or thumbs down. It's fine if it doesn't work. Yeah, it does? Okay. There I am. See, okay, what is that? I know you guys don't see these, really. Anybody know what that is? It's a snowflake. It's a small thing, right? Very small thing, very beautiful thing on its own, but it can be a very damaging and scary thing when it all comes together, or it can be very awesome if you love to, you know, snowboard and such things on it. But you know, my husband and I, we went on this trip in the middle of this season that I was on because we just needed to be, well, I needed to be restored, and he's like up for, well, let's take a trip, fun somewhere together, I'll take care of you. And so we ended up going to Woodstock and in this really beautiful place, you know, Woodstock. No, I'm just kidding. It was a different Woodstock than you're thinking. In Vermont. And we ended up having such a wonderful time. But on our drive there, we ended up having a front-wheel drive. We had to rent a car because we live in New York City and don't own a car. And so we ended up having to rent a car. And someone said, you'll be fine just with a 2-wheel front drive. They were liars. My husband's Australian. He's the one with the license. Mine's expired and I live in New York and I'm lazy and haven't gotten it yet. So he drives me everywhere and so does the subway, so I'm fine. So anyway, someone told us, just get a front wheel drive, you'll be fine. Well, the biggest snowstorm was on its way and we didn't know. We seriously almost died on this trip on the way. I kid you not, we start driving and it was just a rainstorm, like it was just raining really bad. And I started to notice my husband was very quiet. I'm talking. I was like, oh. And he's like white knuckled and like, you know when you can't see the rain is so hard through the windshield, it like gives you trauma. trauma, just driving in the car. But then it turned into snow. And a drive that should have only been 5 hours took so much longer than that. But see, what ended up happening was we were on the main highway, and the snow was this thick on the main highway after it was being plowed, because so many of these beautiful snowflakes were falling together. And so as we drove, we got off onto the off-road, and our GPS didn't know that we shouldn't drive over a mountain that hasn't been plowed. And it turned us, and I said, I have a bad feeling that we shouldn't be turning this way. And before I knew it, we were turning that way. You know that those moments where you're like, no, it's dark. There's nobody around. Nobody's on the streets. So we seriously go, it's a mountain. It's taking us over the mountain. It's giving us the shortcut to get to our destination where nobody is. And we're gonna die. Like, seriously, we got back there, we get stuck in the snow, and there's nobody anywhere. There's no houses anywhere. And I start shaking. I'm trying to pretend I was so filled and like, oh, we got this, God's gonna rescue us. I was like, we're gonna die here. He's like, wow, you need to calm down, wife. So I can be a tad dramatic at times. So we start praying, I'm like, God, we need a miracle. My husband's like holding his phone in the air, trying to get reception. We had no phone reception either. I'm like, for reals? We're gonna die. He's like, stop. So we start praying, and all of a sudden, I'm like, we just need a snowplow to come by. That's all we need, God, just a snowplow. I'm not kidding. Over in the distance, we see lights. Dun, 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 dun. Over the hill comes a snowplow. But see, this was not any snowplow. Out gets this guy who looks like Santa Claus, although he was smoking and swearing and dropping expletives, and I was like, wow, Santa. But see, Santa came to rescue us. And Santa told us, he's like, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna plow in front of you, and then I need you to pull a bleepity bleep 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 Hail Mary. And I need you to go behind. So we did. We're like, whatever you say, Santa. We just wanna get out of here. So Santa plowed away for us, but then as he did, we swerved and almost seriously fell off the ledge of the road that had, I mean, it just went on and on and on. And my prayer life has never been so amazing. After I got rid of my fear, and we started to, after we, the plowman got us out, and we're sitting there, and I started to pray. My husband is like, who is this? I'm like, oh, like I'm praying. He's like, okay, all right. This is such an interesting time together in the car. Our bonding was amazing. And but when we got there, he goes, okay, I got to tell you something. We shouldn't have made it. He goes, I literally felt something pushing our car the whole way. Our tires apparently spun out the whole way, but I was like, you mean so my crazy praying actually worked? That's awesome. We got there, but you know, you're probably going, why are you telling us this story? Well, it's a fun story, and I could have gone more in depth. I mean, Santa saved us. It's so cool. But the truth is snowflakes are beautiful on their own. They're a small thing. They're not a big deal, but the power of multiplication in our lives, it changes the circumstances of our lives. And the power of what you multiply or choose not to multiply will absolutely transform your life. Absolutely. And you know, where we walk and where we sit and where we stand in life, it matters. It's a small thing, but it really matters. Let me read to you from Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice and their plans and their purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive, those are powerful words, in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Okay, so let's look at this when it comes to the small things in our life. Where you walk, where you stand, and where you sit, they seem like small things, but it really matters for what you multiply in your life. So let's look at number one. Where are you walking? Where are you walking? Where are you walking, and who are you walking with? Because who you do life with matters. See, this is why that yes desk out there, I'm not kidding you. Who you choose to walk with and do life with today could transform everything for you. Some of you have walked in here and you are searching for answers. There has been trouble. There have been things that have been breaking down around you. And I'm not telling you that today when you take one step forward, poof, the magic genie comes out and everything changes. What I'm saying to you is choose to do something small that you will begin to walk with different people today. You will begin to walk in a different way. That small thing and the way that you walk, it will transform you over time. Who are you walking with? Whose counsel are you walking in? Whose counsel are you walking in? We've got to pay attention to these things. Number two, where are you standing? Where are you standing? What do you stand for? And what do you stand on? Because I'll tell you what, people know whether you say it or not in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood. They actually know what you stand for and what you stand on just by watching your life. We talk about reaching people that don't yet know Jesus. But I'll tell you what, people are just watching your life. The small things that you choose to do, the way you choose to honor or devalue, what you stand on and stand for, people actually know. They watch. They're seeing your life. And honestly, God is calling us to be a people that stand up and stand for and stand on the right things. And when you do, people go, okay, I've been watching for a while now. And all these little things that seem like not a big deal, it's a big deal. Your life is different than mine. So what do you stand for and what do you stand on? It matters when it comes to the small things in your life. Are you in a position where you are submissive and inactive? I'm standing still, but submissive and inactive. Are you in military positions, standing on the right things, ready at any time to move forward in whatever you need to? What are you standing on and what are you standing for? And the third one is, where are you sitting? Where are you sitting? Now, when you sit down with somebody, you know, when after you've had a big day of work and you're tired and you come home and you just put on your comfy clothes, maybe that's just me, and you sit down. I love to just come home, sit down at the table with my family and eat a meal and talk and just let my guard down, right? Who we sit with are the people that we let our guard down with. And you've got to ask yourself the question, it may seem like a small thing, but who do you sit down with and let your guard down with? Because that small thing can bring about either destruction or transformation. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to people even now. Just little things that he's saying, just tweak this. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Have that conversation. Change the way you do that. Change the way that relationship is functioning right now. You need to be more of the influencer than the influence. The Holy Spirit's being honest with you. You're sitting down and letting your guard down, but you're being influenced more than you're loving and influencing that person. Who are you sitting down with? Where you walk, where you sit, and where you stand matters when it comes to the small things. You know, the Passover and the Festival of the Unleavened Bread. The Passover and the Festival of the Unleavened Bread to this day is still one of the biggest celebrations in the Jewish community. And right around the corner from our house, there is a Jewish school right next door to where my kids go to school. I want to get my kids in there. I'm like, can we come? My heritage is Jesus. I want them to let me in. On the verge of their deliverance from Egypt, the Israelites were given instructions from God to not put yeast in their bread. Now, so they celebrate this festival every year, the Festival of the Unleavened Bread. But listen to this. In Genesis 12:34 and Genesis 12:39, this is the instruction from the Lord about yeast, a very small thing. The Israelites took their bread dough before yeast was added. They wrapped their kneading boards in their cloaks and carried them on their shoulders. For the bread they baked, flat cakes, verse 39, and from dough without yeast they had brought from Egypt. It was made without yeast because the people were driven out of Egypt in such a hurry that they had no time to prepare the bread or other food. Now I want to read you this commentary. It says this: Passover was to be the annual festival to remember the night when the Lord passed over the homes of the Israelites, sparing their firstborn. Inside their homes, each family remembered by eating a meal of roast lamb, bitter herbs, and bread made without yeast. Now, what the lamb represented was the one that had to be killed and its blood smeared on the door frames to protect the family. Bitter herbs signified the bitterness of slavery, and the bread without yeast was made quickly because the dough didn't need time to rise. This way, the people could be ready to leave at any time. Eating the Passover feast while dressed for travel was a sign of faith. Although the people were not yet free, they were ready. For God had said he would lead them out of Egypt, and their preparation demonstrated their belief in God's promises. Okay, small things. Are you dressed and ready and standing on the belief that God will be the God of breakthrough for you? See, the thing with the yeast that I find very interesting is that they didn't put a small thing in this batch of dough. Why? Because they knew that if they put yeast in there, the women would be waiting for it to rise and they would say to their husbands and their families, we can't leave yet, the bread isn't ready yet. I wanna ask you a question. Are you putting small things in your life that you shouldn't be, that when God says now is the time to go, that you're going, I can't because I've got all of this stuff that I allowed to rise in my life and I'm just waiting for it to, and God's going, no, now is the time to move forward. Now is the time to say yes. Now is the time to rise up. Now is the moment for breakthrough. Now is the moment for freedom. We can't just be dressed and ready to go. That is our faith. That is our faith. See, when the doctor gives you a negative report and you are filled with fear, and fear is a small thing that multiplies in our lives when we think on it and think on it, think on it. So there is a small thing that we have to do is we have to get dressed going, God, I am freaked out. I don't even know if this can happen, but I know who you are. I know what you say, and I'm dressed and ready for deliverance even though I don't see it and the doctors aren't saying it. And then we've got to invest small things in our lives that are good, the word of God, and then there are other things we cannot put in there so that when it is time for the breakthrough, we are ready to go, whatever that looks like. The small things matter. The small things really matter. And the good news is that God gave us a free will to change today. Isn't that awesome? That some of you feel so trapped because of the accumulation of a whole bunch of small choices that have landed you in a place today where you feel like, I feel defeated. Well, guess what? There is hope because you can change today some small things that will bring about the right transformation for you. Isn't that exciting? Sometimes though, we don't like to start the work because it's gonna take time. I don't like eating right all the time. I don't like having sugar-free everything. I don't. But I know it's the right thing to do. I do. I just know it's the right thing to do for my body right now so that I can live well and be strong for my children and live the life that God has called me to. What small thing do you need to start today or stop today? For some of us, it's with our thought life. You look back to the Garden of Eden. What was the problem there? Well, there's a lot of problems there. But the liar came in, the enemy came in, and he started to lie to Eve, right? He started to lie to her. The problem was, is that Eve engaged the conversation. The liar will come and lie to you. He will knock on your door. He will tell you, he will sow small seeds in your life. Please do not engage conversation with the enemy. Seems like a small thing, but when you engage the conversation, when you engage the lie, you invest the lie into your life and it begins to multiply. Just don't engage. Go, pasapa, huh? I hear you. Well, actually, I'm just gonna ignore you now. And I begin to think on the right things. Don't engage. Don't engage. You know, the team can come up. Seems like small things, doesn't it? This is why I love church. This is why I love the house of God. This is not religion. This is not rules. This is actually about life change. This is about transformation. This is about finding your purpose. This is about finding your family, just one step at a time. Some of you know that today is the day where you are gonna step into a relationship with God, and Pastor Mark's gonna come up here in a moment and give you that opportunity. For some of you, you need to step into community. You need to stop isolating yourself. You wonder why everything is breaking down in your life. It's because you're doing life alone. Stop. Good on you for coming to church and doing that small thing. Good for you, you did it, you came. You've come a few times. You still haven't talked to anybody. Talk to somebody. Step out, do that small thing. For some of you, you're struggling with addiction or sickness. You're having thoughts and thought processes that are unhealthy, and there is a small thing that you can stop. Stop, just take captive those thoughts. Say, God, I don't know how to do this. I know this is gonna be a lot of work and a lot of exercise, but I'm just gonna start to take captive that thought. That thought is a lie. That thought is not who I am. That thought is not what God says about me. God, what do you say? Who do you say that I am? Okay. I'm gonna start to speak that small thing over my life. Whatever that is, just start today. And I'll tell you, in a week's time, in a month's time, in a year's time, you'll be amazed at how the small things matter. They bring transformation. So Father, right now, I ask that by your Spirit, Every individual life in here matters so much to you. You know what they're going through. You know the small things, the little addictions, the things that are off to the side that you're just saying, hey, just stop. Just stop and I'll show you how. I'll help you tell somebody, walk with somebody. Tell them that you're having a hard time stopping doing this or start something today. Step out. Take that next step into community, into family. Take that next step into the arms of a God who loves you and sent his son for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.